Today's scripture reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem near the towns of Bethphage and Bethany, they came to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of his disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you. As soon as you get there, you will find a colt tied up that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it here. And if someone asks you, why are you doing that? Tell them that the master needs it and will send it back at once. So they went and found a colt out in the street tied to the door of a house. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders asked them, what are you doing untying that colt? They answered just as Jesus had told them, and the men let them go. They brought the colt to Jesus, threw their cloaks over the animal, and Jesus got on. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches in the field and spread them on the road. The people who were in front and those who followed behind began to shout, praise God! God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. God bless the coming kingdom of King David, our Father. Praise be to God. Jesus entered Jerusalem, went into the temple, and looked around at everything. But since it was already late in the day, he went out to Bethany with the 12 disciples.
Thank you, Ray. Double duty. Last week he subbed for Ken, who was unable to be with us, and now he's doing his normal rotation. Thank you. Appreciate that. Choir, and Neil, and Allie Donnelly on the flute. We really appreciated that selection. Beautiful. Beautiful. Normally we clap, but it was so deep and so moving that I think we just kind of were in awe after it was over, so... thank you very, very much. We appreciate the music. So that's kind of a strange title for a sermon. I never thought I would ever preach a sermon with the words Adolf Hitler in it. But there it is. So let me unfold that so you don't think I'm suggesting anything today, all right? So June the 22nd, 1940, back in the era of Hitler and Nazi Germany, June the 22nd, France surrendered to Nazi Germany because they had made a mad dash through the Ardennes forest, and in a matter of weeks, they were able to bring France into submission. Now, what Hitler decided to do at that point was to sign the surrender document for the French, in the same railroad car that the Germans had surrendered to the French in after World War I, the very same railroad car, in order to kind of say, up yours. This is retaliation for what you forced us to do 20 years ago, and now you are going to have to surrender to us in the very same railroad car in the very same place in France. That's the kind of humiliation that Hitler was capable of doing. And then it happened. On July the 6th, just 2 weeks later, the triumphal entry of Adolf Hitler. From France, he traveled by train and arrived at the train station in Berlin in the afternoon, where, upon leaving the train car, he was greeted by a military band playing a lively march, after which he took to a Mercedes-Benz, which would escort him through what some described as a seething mass of people in Berlin all the way to the Reich Chancellery. Millions of flags with a swastika on, millions of flags had been distributed to wave at the dictator. The street was covered in roses. Roses had been distributed, covered the street all the way that Hitler made his triumphal entry into Berlin as the conquering hero. All along the route, the familiar Nazi salute was raised as Hitler donned the same salute back. Deutschland über alles, Germany over all. be intimidated by the wrath and the power of the Nazi state. Or if you're a pro-German, pro-Nazi person, give due praise to the vanquishing hero. It's interesting that the headline in the Berlin newspaper said it all. Today, Berlin receives the conquering general, triumphant Adolf Hitler. Every Palm Sunday, I remind us that we use the words triumphal entry without really knowing the context. A triumph was literally a parade, a technical term for a victory parade that the conquering hero made back to the capital city of the empire. It happened frequently in Roman days, and people were very familiar with what a triumph was. Hitler used the same strategy to symbolize the power of the Third Reich, because after victory, after a powerful victory, there is a parade of power. That is, in fact, the definition of the politics of power. Caesar and Hitler and every tyrant in between practiced that. Peace is achieved by raw power over every form of opposition, and then you are heralded with a parade. And then Jesus came. We have the account of him in the Gospels riding on a colt up the ascent to Jerusalem. But since I believe that we don't really get the point of the triumphal entry, we don't really understand it that well, I'm going to do something that I've never done before on a Palm Sunday and place Jesus in Berlin during the reign of the Nazis. So permit me that little bit of theatrical performance. Hitler has just passed through. The crowds are ordered to dissipate, and they do. Everything returns to normal and quiet in the streets. But in the distance, there is a strange sound coming down the street. Adults and children and everybody in between are having a kind of parade themselves. They're not very organized. They're walking. Some are skipping. Some are running in circles. There's absolutely no order to it. They're throwing something on the road over the roses. It appears to be weeds, dandelions, as a matter of fact. Then there's some music. Sounds like a very, very bad kitchen band. Metal pots are being banged like drums, and a bunch of people have kazoos playing a tune that is really indiscernible and unrecognizable. And then there comes what appears to be the focus of attention, Jesus, who is sitting in a little red wagon and being pulled by a child. On the side of the wagon, there is a swastika, but it has circle around it and a slash through it. He looks disheveled and dirty, but he's smiling and waving as if to receive the adulation of that rowdy band of celebrants around him. At one point, he even gets out of the wagon and imitates the German goose step while laughingly almost falling. But wait, there's also activity on the other end of the street, and it happens to be a not-so-friendly sound. It's the Gestapo. They quickly seize the young rebel, take him down a side street, and then out of sight, we hear the distant muffle of gunshots. Jesus lies dead in a pool of blood. Soldiers paint a swastika on his forehead and leave him on the street as a warning to rot there in the street. Hitler wins, and Jesus loses. Holy Week, whether it's 1940 or 33 AD, it matters little. Jesus, in either time, is offering peaceful resistance to the empire. His Palm Sunday foray was a form of subversion, comical subversion. It called for a people's challenge to the tyranny and the injustice of the Roman system. As I have printed in the bulletin at the very top, under the meditation, I like what Debbie Thomas, and by the way, that is spelled correctly, it is Debbie with one B. Jesus' parade by donkey was a staged joke. It was an act of political theater, an anti-imperial demonstration designed to mock the obscene pomp and circumstance of Rome. So why would Jesus do that? Isn't that painting Jesus in too negative a perspective? Well, I don't think so, because I think Jesus protests whenever any authority superimposes itself upon the authority of God. God is king. Caesar is not. God is king. Hitler is not. God is king. And any kingdom that claims divine authorization over others is not a valid kingdom. We know that the emperors of Rome took on the mantle of the divine. Many were called the Son of God. Augustus was. Hitler, too, saw himself as a revelation of the divine. He said in the Reichstag speech of 1936, "I believe today that I am acting in the sense of the Almighty Creator. By warding off the Jews, I am fighting for the Lord's work." The Palm Sunday stunt was a call for the kingdom of God to come. We pray that all the time, don't we? It's called the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. It was a prayer for the kingdom of God to come. It was an assertion that God reigns over the earth, not the emperor. There is no other God but God. There is no other ruler but God. And that's where we usually get Palm Sunday wrong. Jesus kindly and humbly offering himself as the Messiah to the people, King David who will restore independence to Israel. It's not at all what he was saying. Not at all what he was saying. In fact, Jesus never claimed to be king. Jesus never claimed to be Messiah. Jesus wanted to do away with all kingship and messiahship claims. And it was a protest against that very thing. So Palm Sunday isn't this nice, cutesy, little worshipful thing that we're so used to doing. It was a protest of the highest order. That is why he had to be killed. You know, if he had been promoting himself as the peaceful king of Israel, what harm would that have been? Okay, just let him go, let him preach. But it is far more dangerous if Jesus parades himself out as one who is following the reign of God. It is more dangerous, that kind of message, than the message if he had peacefully come and simply offered himself as the king of Israel. You see, when someone parades himself as king in Roman times, they can easily be dispensed with. There were messiahs all over the place in Jesus' time. They were quickly dispensed with. No problem, no big deal. But here we have in Jesus a kingdom of love. They knew that God's kingdom of love and equality and freedom could and would ruin the empire from within. It would be like cancer in the body. It had to be operated on and surgically removed. It was a rot that was capable of spoiling the entire crop, because God's kingdom challenged the hierarchy of any power, of any ruler, and privilege built into the empire. Best to cut it out now. Best to quell it now. That's why Jesus had to be eliminated. He had to be murdered on a back street in Nazi Germany or on the streets of Jerusalem on Golgotha. That's why Palm Sunday is correctly called in many churches also Passion Sunday. It's not just called Palm Sunday. It's also called Passion Sunday because his clownish parade sealed his doom. After he did that, there was no way in God's good earth that the Gestapo wasn't going to get him and relieve him of his life. So Holy Week is upon us, folks. The storm is gathering. Pilate and his Roman soldiers have noticed the political theater. The Gestapo is waiting around the corner. They are ready to pounce. And so in the face of a culture that loves and even worships power like ours does, are we willing to stick it out with Jesus all the way to the cross and unashamedly, unabashedly sit like Rosa Parks did, sit in passive defiance when the empire raises the imperial flag at the crucifixion and demands that we worship it? No, we will stand with Jesus. because we do not believe in the love of power. We believe, as Jesus did, in the power of love. Amen and amen.